guys. I'm going to start today by telling you that I'm about to brag about myself. No joke. So I've got this crazy sick ability that when I get onto ice, I have like cat-like reflexes to catch myself from falling. Like, you know when you're about to slip? For whatever reason, I can catch myself more often than I think most people can. Okay? It's either that I've got cat-like reflexes or I have a fear of the ground. I'm not sure which one it is, but it's definitely benefited me in a number of situations. My wife can attest to it, so if you need to hear some proof behind it, just go ask her. But I have this sweet ability, but it always doesn't work in my favor. Sometimes it gets worse rather than better. So when I was in Linden, a small town in Alberta, I did my internship there. And I woke up that morning. It was a beautiful day. Sun was shining. I had a nice cup of coffee. I was getting ready to go to church that day. I was going to be preaching for the first time ever at this church. Actually, first time ever anywhere. My first sermon was 11 minutes. Just so you're aware, I've changed a little bit since then. But here I was getting ready to leave. And I take my first few steps outside, ready to go conquer the world with one sermon, you know. Really changed the world that day. And I take three steps out the door and I stepped on ice and I slipped. And when my first foot went up, I did my classic six somehow, caught myself. Unfortunately, I landed on the same piece of ice. Apparently, my body has no recovery factor for the second time on the ice. And there I was, iPad flying, Bible up, notes going everywhere. And there I was, body new. Something was wrong, and the whole body felt it when I hit the ground. Today we're talking about the body of Christ. And I believe for quite some time, there has been a heavy reliance on a few pieces of the body to hold up the rest of it. When the cat-like reflexes gave out, the whole body felt it. Today's sermon is not to be a call down, first off. I just want to preface myself before we dive in. This is to be a call up, to be an encouragement. But I just want to make sure that's known, because these aren't always the easiest sermons I find to dive into. So if you're willing to pray with me in this time, I would just love that, even for my own sake. So we just pray, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your body. Jesus, as we enter into this topic to talk about being the body of Christ, I pray that you would guide my words tonight. Holy Spirit, would you open our hearts to receive from you? God, you are the great speaker. You are the one who proclaims the real truth. So here in this room tonight, Lord Jesus, will we have ears to hear, and would your words be heard tonight? In your name we pray. Amen. So if you got your Bible here, go ahead and open to Romans 12. This is what it says. We're starting from verse 1, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself in sober judgment in accordance to the faith distributed to each one. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to each other. We have different gifts according to the grace given each of us. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy in accordance to your faith. If it is to serve, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then encourage. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, when we talk about church, when someone says church, what's the words that come either into your mind, or what do you think the words enter into someone who's never been inside this building? What's the first thing that they probably think of? Well, they most likely think of a building when we say church. You know, maybe specifically you think of ACC. So often it can be attached to the idea of a pastor. You know, when I think of church, I think of a pastor. Guy gets on stage and talks for an hour, and depending on the preacher, an hour 15, maybe even longer. You never know. All right, so that's often the description that we have in our minds when we use the word church. But when we look in the Bible, you see no mention of that idea of what actually being the church. What it speaks about being the church is the body of Christ. And that is made up of members of people who say Jesus is Lord. People who claim the name of Jesus, that's what makes up the body of Christ. That means if you say you're a Christian, you are a part of this body, and that's important. It's important to know that. You make up a member of this body, and you are irreplaceable. Hear that now before we dive in. All right, so here's the first part of this passage says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Before we were Christians, before you had Jesus in your heart, your life was to serve you. Before you had Jesus, your life was to live for yourself. Before Christ, you did your desire and your purpose. When you took on the name Jesus as Savior, this is one of the exchanges that happened in the transforming of our minds. Before I serve myself, now I live to serve others. Before I serve myself, now I'm called to live for Christ. Before it was my desire, my purpose, now it's Christ's desires and Christ's purpose. That's the transforming and the renewing of our mind. If I had to sum up the topic of tonight, if you had to walk out with one line, it would be this. In view of God's mercy, be a living sacrifice by being your part in the body of Christ. In view of God's mercy, be a living sacrifice by being your part in the body. So what is God's will that comes from this transformation? Before I knew Jesus and I entered this body, what's his good and perfect will? That you would be a living sacrifice. That's the first call. And that's a form of true worship. That's what it says. Last week we talked about what worship was. And often when we talk about worship, often we think about singing songs. When someone says worship, you immediately think your favorite worship song. Or maybe you go, the part of church I just can't wait to get through. I don't know what you think. I love worship. Thanks, Tim and Aaron and everybody else who helped make that happen. That was wonderful today. But here, when you read it, what it speaks about being a living sacrifice is true and a true form of worship. When you look at the life of Mother Teresa, everybody can look at the mark of her life that it left, and it was profound. People look at it in awe as something where they go, that was a life well lived. Her life was the testimony. That's the call that Jesus and Paul here is urging us to take it and really think about. Be a living sacrifice. And how? How do you then and I do that? We'll look at this one bit. By being the piece of the body that God has called you to be. You see, when you accepted being a Christian, the day that you said that, you received a call on your life. The day you accepted Jesus, God put a purpose for you to play in the body. So there's no outs in this one. You, when you call yourself a Christian, this, I'm speaking to you. So I just want to make sure we're not going, this is for my sweetheart. You know, this is for you. This is for each of us. But often when we hear the word called, we think of a pastor. We immediately think, well, he's, you know, when were you called into the ministry? And I actually really did receive a calling. In grade 9, I knew I was going to become a pastor. I did not want to become a pastor. But I had felt the call of God on my life. And here I stand today. I knew I was called. But when you look in the mirror and you see yourself, do you know that God has called you to be something for the body of Christ? Irreplaceable. You have been called to be that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to throw onto the screen a slide of the different gifts. So there, he gives a list of like seven things. If your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy according to your faith. If it's to teach, then teach. If it's to evangelize, go evangelize. If it's to encourage. Oh, it is up. Okay, I didn't see it. I was waiting. There we go. We got the list. This is found 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, Ephesians 4. These are the main passages you can go and look at to see what it is. Okay, so these are spiritual gifts. The day you accepted Jesus, you received a calling on your life to be something in the body of Christ. You have been called. You have been called to be something. Now, what I'll tell you about the spiritual giftings, some of you might look at it and go, oh, I'm an encourager. I want to stop for a second and say that I'm not going to fight you on that maybe God has spiritually gifted you to be an encourager. But the difference between a spiritual gift and the gift just being my own is like this. If I've got a car, okay, I can put a car into neutral and push it, okay? I have the ability to push the car, but the car sure runs better when the engine's going. In the case of the gifts of the Spirit, they are powered by Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the power within them that give it the oomph. When you think about someone, we're all called to evangelize, right? That's one of the things. In Matthew 28, we're all called to make disciples. But the difference when someone has the spiritual gift of evangelism is before, usually with someone without the gift has to work in a relationship. You have to first have the relationship. If you think about someone like Teresa Rilling, she could just sit down with some girl at a coffee shop and most likely, if it's led by the Lord, lead that person to Christ by the end of the conversation, a spiritual gift. And I want to tell you, each one of you has some sort of gift on your life. The Holy Spirit has called you to. You are called. It is not only the pastor who is called, but a person who claims the name of Jesus has a role to play, and it's critical. It's critical. Do you know your gift? Do you know your gift? The next part that you read in the passage is for each of us, this is just a little bit further down, it says, for each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, though many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. I read that, and then I look sometimes at what I see, though, in the church. And I see a whole lot of people who step out of the roles that they've been called to. You know, and I have to ask myself, why? Why is it that we can sometimes find that we can come up with a reason to not be what I've been called to be? So I came up with a list of things, of potential reasons why we step out sometimes of being the body of Christ or playing the role that we were called to play. So this is not a complete list. There are things that could be on here that I do not say that should be on here. But this is just some things that when I prayed about it, this is what God brought to me. One is I don't feel called or led. So I just want to clarify here for a second. I've used the word called now for two meanings. Calling on my life that Holy Spirit has gifted me to be. And the other is this. I run youth ministry, okay? Sometimes I do a shout out saying, hey, I need help, right? Or Christy, I think Christy's the better example than me in this one. Christy will do a help me. I need help. And then when it comes to helping her, I just don't feel called to kids ministry. I don't think that's my gifting. All right. So my example in this is my wife. My wife's spiritual gifting is the prophetic. And something I love is that Tim knows that. And he has messaged her personally and said, do you have a word for the church? And then Jordan will take it, pray on it, and come back with a word. That's her spiritual gifting. She's got the gift of faith as well. But there's something else that Jordan does. She plays the bass. Do you want me to tell you about Jordan? She hates the bass. She does not enjoy playing the bass. But she loves the church. And sometimes she sees a hole that just needs to be filled. Because she loves the church, she's willing to step into things sometimes to fill the holes because of the love that she has. So sometimes we don't step into caring for the body because I don't feel that it's my job. I feel somebody else's job. The next one here is, I don't fit in. I don't fit into any specific role. You know, I read those spiritual gifts and I don't see mine on there. You know, none of those are me. The first, I just want to shut that down immediately. If you claim the name of Jesus, he looks at you and says, I have a purpose for you to play that nobody else is supposed to play. You are supposed to play. But sometimes the reason we feel that is because when we look and sometimes think of church only as a Sunday service, an hour time frame, you could be right. There might not be a spot on the Sunday morning that you potentially, with your spiritual gifting, fit into. That could be true. That could be true. But like I said, it's to be a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. So it's the whole life. It's a 24/7 call while being a Christian. So we sometimes step out of things because I don't feel called. Or I don't feel like I fit into any of the specific roles. But your role exists and it's meant to be done by you. And sometimes what we might do is this as well, just to fit in here, as you go, you'll come up with an amazing idea of a ministry that you want to run or you'd love to see our church do. And you go, oh, Pastor Tim, I have a great ministry for you to start up. But the thing is, if God's put it on your heart, don't go to somebody else and ask them to start it. If that's the passion and desire God gave you, don't look to someone else. I mean, maybe get, you know, someone to pray with you through it, make sure it's a great idea. But maybe that's something the Lord's calling you into. 3, been hurt by somebody. Often, I've seen so many people step out of being the role that God has called them to be because somebody in these walls hurt you, maybe even the person who was leading the ministry. And you go, I can't do it anymore. Michael, I got to step out because what they did to me was too bad. And I just want to speak about the great healer of Jesus. Jesus so desperately wants you to play your role that you are unreplaceable. If I lost my leg, I would know it. My whole body would know it. And Jesus is this amazing surgeon who can fix things. It doesn't mean it won't leave a scar. It doesn't mean that healing isn't easy. But it's sometimes the excuse we use to step out of doing ministry. Lack of unity. Oh my goodness. This is the next one. Lack of unity. In COVID here, how many people have been mad at the church based on how the church has chosen to respond? And so we go, I can't be a part of it. I can't be a part of ACC anymore because of the way they've chosen to respond. So I'm going to step out of the role that God's called me to be. Lack of unity. 5, and this is a big one, I think, for some people. I am too broken. It says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. But sometimes it's also don't think of yourself more lowly than you ought. And you look at yourself and you count yourself as two damaged goods. What could God even do with me? If you believe in the name of Jesus, he has given you a role to play that is unreplaceable. You're going to realize I say the same line over and over again tonight. It's because I really, really want it to land. You are irreplaceable and you have been called. There is nobody too broken for Jesus. Nobody. He looks at you and says, you, I have a great call in your life. 6, we have allowed culture around us to influence the church or how I think of church or do church. So, for example, consumer culture. If the preacher's not good enough, if there's not enough hymns, if there's too few hymns, if the music's too loud or if it's too quiet, I'm out of here. I'm gone. The thinking of the world is that's the self. The church is for me. And in the body, as much as I gain from the body of Christ, it's also this idea of a giving and taking. But we can't let what the world thinks define what we do. So that's the first one. Two would be out of this allowing culture to influence is feelings dictate what I do. I don't feel like showing up tonight. I don't feel like going there today. I don't feel like being the part that I've been called to be. And when it comes to us, we don't make decisions based off feelings, but we make decisions based off truth. And the truth is, you've been called. Truth is, I no longer have the right. If I claim Jesus, He set the example and told me that I am now to serve and be a living sacrifice. That's the new call on my life. And He's given me a role to play. That's the life I'm now to live. Not my purpose, but Christ's purpose. And the purpose He's put on you is a great one. And three is this. Quitting is my prerogative. Sometimes we feel the right to step out of things. And it just ties exactly back into the feelings. The truth is, if you've got breath in your lungs, if you are still breathing, God has a plan on your life of things that He has desired for you to do that no one else is to do. You. Seven, burnt out. I gave and I gave and I gave, but I went too far. I gave until I had absolutely nothing left, and when I came down to it, I had to quit because there was nothing left in the tanks. You know, earlier I had mentioned that I believe that there's been a small portion of the church that's been carrying most of the weight. When we took stats about who's stepping up in the church to play different roles, we found that 25% out of the 75 were actually involved in doing something. And let's say people out of that, the other 75%, let's say 7%, because like I said, not all roles exist for within the church, which I fully agree with. Some ministries or spiritual gifts take place outside the church. So let's say that's 7%. 32% of the body is actively doing something. If only 32% of your body decided to work today, don't you think you'd notice? Don't you think at some point it would get tired? You know, I've heard stories of pastors when COVID is done, the day it's over, they are quitting. And I don't know if this is due to potentially the way the church has been set up in North America or what it is. But I can tell you there is pieces that have been giving and giving and giving. And it could be because sometimes there's certain individuals in the body who go, well, I'll help plug this hole, I'll help plug this hole, I'll help fill this hole. And all of a sudden, they're going, I'm done. I've got nothing left. And they burn out. They gave too much. And the final one, which I really believe sums up this whole thing, is this. The cost of being a living sacrifice is too great. The cost of it. Life's too busy, Michael. I don't have time to serve. I can't give that up. I can't give that up. And we can insert different reasons in that section of what exactly we mean of what I can't give up. And often you'll find it's specifically, you'll hear things like family. I'm stepping back because my family suffers when I'm there. To be a living sacrifice, I have to tell you, there is a definite suffering. Paul told us straight up, he says, I've suffered for the church. In being the body of Christ, sometimes there is a suffering. But I just want to pause on this for a minute, specifically around the cost of it. Sometimes we pull out of things to focus on family or whatever it might be. Enter in your thing. But sometimes I don't think it actually brings about the outcome we actually hope for. If your family always see you, or your friends around you, the circle who you're trying to influence, always see you step out of being the role that God has called you to be and to step into something else that God, though it's good things sometimes, What's the message they receive every time we do that? Every time I step out of the called part of my life, what is the message they actually receive? What is it what they would think of you, or what it actually means to be a Christian if I always choose to step out of being that part? I've got this great, I met these amazing people over in Bali, Indonesia. And his name was Buzz Maxey. And Buzz Maxey does a sermon about being all in. And his grandfather was a missionary over in Bali, Indonesia. And the coolest thing is this. What legacy is left? If that's the part I forgot to say here. What's the legacy left if I always step out? Well, here's the legacy left if I step in. Buzz Maxey's grandfather was a missionary. Buzz Maxey is a missionary. All of Buzz Maxey's children are missionaries. Left a legacy for the kids of seeing what's worth sacrificing for. Sometimes we give stuff up, but what are we giving it up for? And they were willing to sacrifice it for the name of Jesus to be the part of Christ that they were called to be. But all of these things, whatever it is that we have, for the reason that sometimes we feel the right, and that's how we really feel. I feel the right to step out of ministry. You have been called to ministry, but not only have you been called, you are needed. I don't know if there's a single day in my entire life I've ever thought to myself, boy, oh boy, I don't think I need my legs today. You know, I've always desired that. When Tim Bergman's kidneys began to shut down in his body all those years ago, when the one part of his body decided to step out of the picture, his whole body felt it. His body knew something was wrong, and the whole body knew it. We need each other. So let's put it now into the practical terms. The pastor cannot say to the prophet, I do not need you. The evangelist cannot look at the shepherd and say, you're not important. Though both of those gifts, if you can believe it or not, can be very, very different. But God has designed the body, though many members form one body, and each part is critical, and each part serves the other. Even as I stand here, I don't think about my hands up and moving. They just work together. That's the desire that Jesus has for us, this need for that. And God wants to use the church to be the hope, love, faith, and hands and feet. That's you and me. This is the people that He's going to use to minister to your life, to minister to the person beside you's life, to minister to the person who's not yet in this building's life. He's going to use the church. Why He chose to use us is beyond me, but He said, I'm going to entrust this to you. And Paul then urges it. The opening words he had were, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So why would He urge us to be a living sacrifice? Why would He urge us to give it all? Well, this is the one here that I think hits the chord in my heart the hardest. Because of God's mercy. You see, before you were a Christian, before we knew Jesus, you didn't have hope. You weren't saved. You were lost. But God met you. And most likely, He did it through the church. God most likely met you through somebody sitting in this building or somebody from the church. God used it to meet you. But for whatever reason, and when it came to you, God spared no expense. He went to the cross for you and for me. He showed exactly what it meant to be a living sacrifice. He showed us exactly what it meant to be a living sacrifice. And maybe what we need, though, is just the reminder of what's at stake. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. First off, Christ first did it for you. He first did it for you. But the world around us is still hopeless, is still in the dark, is still in need of the light of Jesus. And God said he's going to use the church to go and send the message out. But not only that, it's within these walls that God begins to mend and use each other to build us up. And so when I look at you, I want to say you are needed, you are called. But remember that Jesus, when he called you, he first exampled it by being the living sacrifice. He was the living sacrifice first. And when it came to us, he spared no expense. He spared no expense when it came to us. So, when the whole body doesn't show up, we all suffer. When the whole body decides, I'm not going to be my part today, we all suffer. I heard this last year about this time. I shared a story from a guy named Matthew Paris, who's an atheist. And this is my hope for us. So if you don't know him, Matthew Paris wrote an article in Times Magazine. And it was written, Africa Needs God. Written by an atheist. Let's keep this all in mind. He said, my entire life, I've been trying to disprove our need of God. He said, but when I went over to Africa, the very thing I've been trying to disprove my entire life has come crashing down on me. He says, because here I went and saw Africa and what the Christian was doing over there. And he said, if the Christian, evangelical Christian, left Africa today, he would be leaving them to Nike, the witch doctor, and the machete. He could see that they would have been left to the doom if the church were to leave Africa. When I look at Sylvan Lake, I hope that would be the call, that would be the exact same thing, that the atheist in the room, if all of the churches were to get uprooted today from Sylvan Lake, that Sylvan Lake would know they would be left to their doom. Because guys, there's a world that is broken in need of the light. There is a world that is needing you to be your bit. You are called. You are needed. God's gifted you to do something that no one else can do. Sometimes there's no next man up. It's your call on your life. And God's joys come when we step into those roles. There is joy. But don't think it doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. There's definitely sometimes a suffering that comes with it. But if you look at yourself and you go, I've got nothing on my life, I've got to say, you got to go right back to this scripture and know that you are a member of this body and God has placed you here to do something that no one else can do. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. Lord Jesus, I thank you that each member of this body is so precious, Lord. I love this body of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you love this body and that you desire to use each of us for a specific purpose. Lord Jesus, would you reveal to each person here what they are called to if they don't know right now? And if not that, specifically, what are you calling them to step into? Is there some excuse that I've allowed to get in the way of being my piece of the body of Jesus? And Lord Jesus, what do you think of me when you look at me? Love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have a great purpose for all of our lives. We love you, Lord.